Amen. Revelation 4 is where we are, and I want to soak that out as much as we can. I want to give you as much of Revelation 4 as I can. And this week, so I was praying, God, where would you have us to go in the teaching for Sunday? Last week we talked about these two words here in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, and somehow I could not get it done. I couldn't get it out through this whole week. This has been the thought, the prevailing thought in my mind and in my heart. So I learned a long time ago in preaching to stop preaching sermons. And what I mean by that is you can be mechanically sound. You can take any verse. Your pastor knows this well. You can take any verse of Scripture at any time, outline it, and preach a sermon. That's not where we're at. We need a message. So when there's something that burns continuously in my mind and heart, that's what comes out. Okay, that's what I'm left with. And it's this thought from Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, these two words that changes everything about your perspective. It changes everything. These two words have a relationship to time, but it also has a relationship to dimension. You cannot properly relate to time without relating to dimension. I'll describe it this way. Redeem the time, the Bible says, for the days are evil. Okay? There's a relationship between time and dimension. So if you're going to think about time, you also have to think about eternity. Eternity is a term of time, but it's in another dimension. We have no capacity to think eternally in our natural being, because in our natural being we're stuck in time. But how many of you are saved and know Jesus as your Savior? You're sure of that, by the way. And you base it on biblical fact. Right. You know, okay, watch this. You are now eternal. So you are in an altered dimension while being in time. If you want to know how to walk after the Spirit, not fulfill the lust of the flesh, if you want to know how to be filled with the Spirit so that the Holy Spirit controls your being, you have to do that in another dimension, not in a dimension of time. Once you have encountered the fullness of the Holy Spirit, then that other dimension will begin to affect your time. Did you hear that? So there's all kinds of relationships about after this. Now let's just simplify for a minute. And I said this last week, I say it again to you now. These two words in Revelation 4:1 gives us hope. You know why? Because there is always an after this.
Amen.
I can't hear, so if you don't say amen, I'm going to go till 4 o'clock today. There is also an after this. We're not stuck in now. There is an after this. Now, when you start thinking about what is your after this, what is that? If you go to the comparing Scripture to Scripture, and we've done this, I think, already, and I can't even remember now what things I've wrote down on these slides. So just bear with me for a minute, if you will. Revelation 1:19. John is given a command by the Lord. Here's what Jesus said. John, write down the things you have seen. Write down the things that are. And write down the things that are after this. Revelation 4:1 gives you what John is writing after this. We've answered the question, after what? It's after the church age. Revelation 2 and 3, the seven churches that comprises all of church history from beginning to end. So John is writing things after this that is after the church age. Now let's bring that to a practical point. How many of you have had past experiences in your life that you wished you hadn't have experienced? Let me say it another way. How many of you have done things in your past you wish you hadn't have done? How many of you still carry the baggage today of what you did in your past? I can tell you how to get rid of that. And it's not through a psychological equation either. That'll never do it. Listen, dealing with your past is no way to deal with your past. It's improper. It's not biblical. The Bible doesn't tell you to go back and dig up your past and deal with it. The Bible says forget those things that are behind. Unfortunately, in the natural being, in time, we remember the things we're supposed to forget, and we forget the things we're supposed to remember. See, so watch this. Here's the long and short of it. One long and short story here. Did you know that because you got saved and invited Jesus into your life, things changed for you in such a manner that psychological things no longer work for you that may work for someone else? Do you know that? I'm not down necessarily on psychological things. I'm not down on that. It's good for natural people. It's good for those who only live in the dimension of time. But when you said yes to Jesus, something altered in you. You were transformed. Meaning there was a cataclysmic metamorphosis that occurred in you. You're no longer the same being in essence as you used to be. So now you have to factor in the Jesus equation. Jesus changes psychological truth. Here's how he does it. He says, don't deal with your past by dealing with your past. Jesus said, I have dealt with your past. So the reason we can't get to the after this is because we're still stuck in what used to happen. So Jesus tells John this, John, write down the things you've seen. What could John have wrote about? Well, he could have wrote, okay, boy, I'm going to take advantage of this. I was preaching and they put me in jail. I was preaching and they beat me. I was preaching and they sentenced me to prison. That ain't what John wrote. You know what John wrote? John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard a voice behind me and I turned to see him and there was Jesus.
Amen.
He wrote down what he had encountered from God in his past that shaped his present. Well, how could he have that kind of hope? Because John had an after this.
Amen.
There was an after this to the Isle of Patmos. Listen to me. There is an after this to the tragedies you faced. There's an after this to the difficulties you've encountered. There is an after this to your past behavior. Somebody say amen to that. There is an after this to this present tense mundane reality. There's an after this. Now watch this. I'm looking forward to my after this. Can I tell you a little bit about my after this? Watch this. There's coming a time in my after this, I'm not going to walk on pavement no more. I'm going to walk on gold. In my after this, there's coming a time when this body's not going to hurt anymore because this body's going to lay down and I get a brand new body. It's a pretty good looking body too.
Amen.
Glorified.
Yeah.
That's in my after this. That's in your after this if you know Jesus.
Right.
Hey, in my after this, there is no more broken relationships. All is mended and put together and is well. That's in my after this. In my after this, there are no more tears of sorrow. There's only joy. Are y'all even listening to this? How many of y'all know Jesus? I'm describing your after this too, by the way. You could get excited about that. In other words, you don't have to be in bondage to your past even in the present because you have an after this. Does that make sense? So last time we were talking about how that after this there was a door open in heaven and we talked about the door and all that. So I hope you get that. And then from this door there was a voice that said, hey, John, come up here where I'm at. Come up hither. Can I give you a practical application of that right quick? In the book of Ephesians, Paul says this, when you got saved, you were raised up to sit with Christ in heavenly places. Can I tell you, that's not in your after this. That's in your right now. Oh boy. In my right now, I can already experience my after this. So all week, I've been thinking about this thought. Lord, help me to live right now in my after this. You know what it's helped me with? It's helped me to deal with my right now in the biblical way. Instead of dealing with this dimension of time that, by the way, can I tell you, if you get all of that stuff in time down pat where, yeah, okay, well, I know in my past, listen, I'm so sick. This is going to come out wrong. We might get kicked off the internet for this, but chemo brain, we can blame it on that, right? I'm so tired of people blaming what they do now on poor potty training when there's a kid. Can I just say that out loud? I mean, seriously, can we just stop the insanity? Here's the way you deal with your past. You bring your past to Jesus and forget it.
Amen.
If you continuously talk about it, it proves you're in bondage to it.
Right.
And you will never get to the after this proposition of another dimension of spirit world reality into your present tense.
Amen.
And your present tense will always then be in bondage to your past. I am not who I used to be. Thank God. When I woke up this morning, I'm not even the same man this morning as I was yesterday. Last night when I went to sleep and I woke up, I'm not the same today as I was when I went to sleep. Because when I woke up, I kept saying, Lord, I got to have something fresh to say. He said, you haven't exhausted what I give you. After this, remember that. I was telling the pastor a minute ago, I said, this may come out wrong too. I was at a church service here recently, this very, very recently, where I was hoping for after this. Do you get what I'm driving at? I was so wanting after this. I had a remote in my hand, a spiritual remote, and I was trying to hit fast forward. Can I tell you one reason why? Listen to me. You're not going to deal with your past by dealing with your past. Get that straight. And it's because you're a Jesus person. I want you to tap into after this. How many of you have heaven as a hope? How many of you have heaven as a reality? You see, it's a living reality coming into your present tense. Now, in Revelation chapter 4, and we'll get to writing to you. Don Barrett is helping me with it. It's coming. And we've got the chapter 4. I have started chapter 5 in the writing part. Chapter 4 is completed. We'll have that for your books. But I want to read to you verse 1 and 2, and we're going to continue on with verse 2. I may not even show a slide. How many of you will remember after this? Commit it to your mind. Listen to what it says, verse 4. After this I looked, behold, a door was opened in heaven. The first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, I'll show you things that'll be hereafter. Can I just say this verse gives us biblical proof of a reality of the prophetic world. I'm using those terms. Those are Bible terms. Now, watch. This is really important to me. Everybody say, I'm listening. The word prophecy in the Bible has several meanings. Okay. The strictest meaning of the word prophecy is just the declaration of God's word. It's declaring the word of God. Okay, that's what prophecy is. Matter of fact, in the context of that, every time you speak the word of God, I speak the word of God, pastor speaks the word of God, we are prophesying. Okay? And so a prophecy doesn't necessarily mean that you're telling something in the future, is what I'm saying. When you declare the word of God, you are prophetically functioning. Okay? However, there is an element of the prophetic world that is alive in our now. It's designed to get us from our now to the after this. Paul even described the characteristics of a true prophetic word. It is a word that encourages. It's a word that exhorts. It's a word that instructs. It's a word sometimes that confronts. Ooh. And that's true. I'm going to share with you an example of a prophetic word, and some of you will, I don't know whether you'll receive this or not. I'm going to leave it up to you. Okay. How many of you know Alan Smith, the guy I do the podcast with? Alan lives on Smith Farm Road, 1210 Smith Farm Road. Okay, and he has a family. Now, a few weeks back, there was this gentleman that had a, he felt like that God was telling him to tell Alan something. Okay? And in front of an entire crowd, he had never met Alan. Alan had never met him. Okay? This guy got up and he said, God told me to give you Revelation 12:10. And he told me, he said, the Lord told me that 12:10 is a very personal number to you. And Alan said, well, yeah, it is a personal number. That's my address, 1210. He said, the guy said, and the name of the road seems to ring a bell in me. He said, I feel like that's personal to you. And Alan said, well, the road's named after me, Smith Farm, 1210 Smith Farm Road. The guy said, does the name Frankie ring a bell? He said, yeah, that's my wife. So what about Joseph? Yeah, that's my son. So the Lord told me, Jesse, that's my daughter. Alan said. He said, does the name Colin ring a bell? He said, that's my grandson. Then Alan finally said, you need to stop. The guy said, I think God told me all of those things to validate what I'm about to tell you. He said, God wanted me to tell you that there's been some people in your life that's tried to obstruct your ministry and what you're doing, and God wanted me to let you know that all of those ties have been severed. Now, I share that with, I watched it, I witnessed it, so I know it happened. Okay? He knew, God told him his grandchildren, his children, his wife, his road name, his address. I don't know how more explicit you can be. That is an example of the prophetic world being engaged by the Holy Spirit. Didn't have nothing to do with the guy saying it. Didn't have nothing to do with nothing other than God was saying, let me have your attention. Are you with me so far? So now watch this. Listen, what was greater? Was it greater that the guy could call his children and grandchildren whom he had never met, wife, address? Or was it greater that he say, what has been obstructing you has now been severed? You see, the sensationalism part of saying, man, he knew all this stuff. That's what gets us sidetracked and away from the real word. Please say amen.
Amen.
See, if you get sidetracked on the sensational part of it, you're hung up in the now. The Word takes you to the after this. So in Revelation 4:1, here's what Jesus said to John. John, come up here. I'm gonna tell you things that hasn't happened yet. You with me? God can share with you things that hasn't happened yet. Now let me forewarn you, when you enter into that vein of walking with God, most of the times, the things that God will tell you, if you share it with someone else, they're not going to agree with it. You know why? They can't see it. How many of you have ever heard of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? So when God shares with you something, most of the time, if you share what God said to you, it's you're going to sound like an idiot. Because mere words are stuck in time. Eternal language is something completely different. Y'all with me so far? Watch. Jesus said to John, come up here, I'm going to show you things that will be hereafter. John writes it down. Think of how crazy this is going to sound in that day when John says, and I saw locusts, 200 million of them, coming up out of the pit of hell and covering the whole earth. How foolish would that have sounded in that time? Y'all with me? We know now the meaning of that because of the Old Testament prophecies and the book of Daniel and all of that sort of thing coming together that we're going to go into as we go through the book. But here's the point of Revelation chapter 4:1 that I want you to know. God can lead us in things that has not even yet happened, because of the eternal voice of Jesus Christ. Our praying needs to be, Lord, release that prophetic unction inside of us. We need that. We need that. Everybody say amen to that. So that's what Revelation 4:1 is necessarily about. I'm going to hurry because I want to get to Revelation 4:2. Here's what Revelation 4:2 says. Everybody say, I'm listening. Now, you've heard Revelation 4:1. Jesus said, come up hither. I'm going to show you things that will be hereafter. Look at verse 2. And immediately. Now, here we go with another time word. Immediately. Watch. Verse 1 starts with after this. Verse 2 says, and immediately. You don't have to wait. You don't have to work it up. Immediately something happened. What was it? Well, John is in the presence of Christ. What effect does that have on him? Immediately he said, I was in the Spirit. Immediately. He didn't have to work it up. Today we're at the podcast we're having. Don Potter is going to be there. Don Potter is, in my opinion, a grandfather of worship. If you haven't heard his music, you need to. It is both prophetic, spontaneous, and it's a very unique blend or style of worship. I'm going to make this statement on the podcast. Worship has nothing to do with music. Worship is something that happens apart from music, and music can enhance worship. Music can even be used as a tool in worship, but music is not necessarily worship. Worship is what flows from your heart of love, commitment, and adoration to the Lord Jesus Christ. Y'all with me? So, my wife writes songs. She sings beautifully. She plays a guitar wonderfully. All of those things. Can I tell you, those tools can be used just as much for Satan as they can for God. You with me? But pure worship that belongs to the Lord, pure worship goes beyond the avenue of tools. It is a personal communion between you and the Lord Jesus. There can be no music playing. You enter into worship, you'll hear music. But the music you'll be hearing is sounds from heaven. Please say amen. There's a whole lot wrapped up into immediately I was in the Spirit. We're going to get into that next week and in weeks to come. But here's what it says, and immediately I was in the Spirit. Now everybody say, I'm listening. We're going to get to a doctrinal point of Revelation 4, and a throne, it says, was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Now, here's where we have to differentiate, and so far I've tried to be encouraging today. Do you think I've been encouraging? Okay. So that's going out the window at this point, all right? Because I have to give you truth as well, truth as part of it. Revelation chapter 4. Please hear what's happened so far. John records his vision of Christ in chapter 1. He gives a present tense condition and evaluation of the church. He tells the church what the warfare is going to be like that you're going to face. He identifies spirits in Revelation 2 and 3 that's going to come against the church. He also tells you how to overcome in those areas. All that stuff is in chapters 2 and 3. You get to chapter 4 and suddenly there's a throne in heaven. Now, what is it that happens after this in chapter 4? You have the very wrath of God being poured out on the earth. So the throne of chapter 4 is not necessarily a throne of grace. It's a throne of judgment. Now, if I'm going to be true to the prophetic declaration, I will have to tell you this. The reason it is important to differentiate between time and dimension is because in time, the after this prospects are full of judgment. But in dimension, the after this prospects are eternal treasure. So you have to choose where you're going to live. Okay, and here's the truth. If you take the supernatural essence of Christ, and you, according to the Bible, are in Christ, and Christ is in you, and Christ and you are in God, according to the book of Colossians, your life is hid with Christ in God, is what the Bible says. Okay, if that is true, then the only way you will survive time is through the dimension of eternity. After this, why? Because the throne of God in the setting of time is a throne of judgment. We're going to see it through Revelation 4 and 5. There is massive splendor going on. Next week we'll talk about, if we get there, the jasper stone, the sardine stone, the emerald, what it means. We're going to talk about the 24 elders, who they are. We're going to talk about the host of heaven, what they're doing. They're all praising God. And then in chapter 5 it continues and the songs begin to burst forth. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. All of that's going on, and you know why it's going on? Because they're seeing judgment proceed out of the throne. Whew. Now you know if you're really committed to worship or not. If you're really committed to praising God or not. Because it ain't about what's happening. Hello? It's about the awesome power of who God is. God, we're not worshiping you for your stuff. I'm worshiping you because you're God. Watch this. God, I'm not worshiping you because you heal me. I'm worshiping you because you're God. Right. I'm not worshiping you, Lord, because you can make things go better in my life. I'm worshiping you because you're the creator of the universe, the architect of it all, and you've included me in your plan. I'm not worshiping you, Lord, because you're going to help me deal with all these mundane things here in time. I'm worshiping you because I'm fixing to escape time and join you in eternity where I'll forever be with you, and I want to enjoy that time. I think I'll just worship you now. Y'all with me? I'm not worshiping you, God, because I have this perspective of how you're going to fix this and fix that and fix this in this person's life and fix this in that person's life. I'm not going to worship you because of that. I'm going to worship you because even if the heavens are silenced, you've already spoken enough truth to set me free of my sin and carry me into eternity. He's God. Can I remind y'all of how big God is? He stepped out on nothing and said, light. He didn't say, let there be. That, they included that in the translation. God don't ask permission. Are you kidding me? God stepped out on nothing and said, light. And the universe lit up. Matter of fact, it lit up so much, he had to separate and pronounce dark. That's who I'm worshiping. Watch this. That's who is my best friend. Matter of fact, here's what he said. If you'll join me in eternity, I'll even fight your battles for you. Uh-oh. See, it's taking that after this and bringing it into now. Don't get messed up with your past. We've all got one. And by the way, let me just say, mine's no dirtier than yours is. It's all rotten. Say amen to the truth. And we don't even have to wear that rotten past as a badge neither. I'm a little bit sick of that, ain't you? Being defined by it and say, nah. Make you sick. That's worse than chemo sick, is doing that. Living in your past. Satan tries to do that to me. I'm confessing it to you. Okay? I'm confessing it to you as brothers and sisters. You can help me pray. But Satan uses that against me. Every once in a while, we had a dear friend, I say this, had a young man that was at our church. Not saved at our church. Passed away this week. He's younger than I am. Wife just walked in, found him dead. And I started thinking, reflecting back on things. I remember getting him in the car and driving him to Florida. Going picking him up when he got dried out. I started reflecting back on past. And I said, God, it's just too nasty for me to be there. That's why I honestly believe it. That's why all week I'd get right down to the lowest ebb and the Lord would say, remember after this. Thank you, Lord. I'd get down to thinking about that most horrible thing. And God would say, after this. I'll be a little personal here. But it kind of maybe illustrates a little bit. Watch. I'd get to thinking about past mistakes, regret, wasted opportunity. I'd be thinking about that. I'm just using this as an illustration, so hear my heart. Every time I'd get right there, Haley would call. Every time, or send a text. It took me a minute, but I started thinking, ooh, wait a minute, that's the after this. You're the after this. Helps me get into eternity and escape time. Joey Gregg called me yesterday. That takes you back into the dungeon. You know, the dungeon. Now, he called me yesterday, and when he called, I said, that's part of my after this. It's part of my after this. Sometimes you can be drug across every pothole and fence post in the field, but there's a treasure hidden in that field. According to the Word of God. And it's part of your after this. Did y'all hear what I've said today? I don't know if anything I said made sense. I'm chemo fried, but I was trusting God on the way here. That Lord, just give me words that I have yet to say or yet to declare. I know this. I need after this and I need it immediately. I need it immediately in the Spirit. We'll get to the one that sat on the throne next week. The one, that's important. The one that was sitting, not the three. The one that sat on the throne. It'll be important to you. So come back next week and let's do that. Father, we love you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for all you do. We're unworthy of even a drop of your mercy. But you give it to us anyway. So Lord, help us to see. Lord, I've prayed this before that you'd allow me to see others as you see them. I'm going to ask for something greater. I'm going to ask that you let me see me how you see me for just a bit. Jesus, remove weariness with rest and peace to replace confusion, joy to swallow up sorrow in this place today. And may we immediately be in the Spirit. Restore what needs to be restored. And heal what needs to be healed. Save anyone that may come in here lost. I pray, God, that whoever walks in the doors, they'll be slapped in the face with conviction and repentance before they ever walk in the auditorium. We pray for Linda's daddy. We lift him up. He needs a touch from heaven. We pray for Jamie Beard and his wife. They need healing and encouragement. And Lord, I pray for Gina Teeter and the children that lost their daddy and their husband this week, and a friend. Thank you for working things out for your glory and your good. Be with us through the course of this day, and may this be a great week of strength. We'll give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.